Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back. For those who are sitting in the back, if you want to move up, perhaps it'll be easier on all of us. We're up to our series in Hilchos Hadlakos Neir Shabbos. We're up to the third in our series of Shiurim. Hopefully we'll finish it up today. Today's Divrei Torah should be Le'ilu Nishmas, Avram Yitzchak ben Yaakov Halevi, Dr. Alvin Schiff, whose yard site is this morning, is today. And from our Divrei Torah together, his Neshama should have an Aliyah. So we spoke in the first year that we had about the important element of Kavod Shabbos and Onik Shabbos. When one lights Shabbos candles, not only do we assume that you're in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos, but we assume that you're in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Onik Shabbos as well. What exactly is the difference between Kavod Shabbos and Onik Shabbos? So the Vilna Gaon writes in his Bir HaGran Shulchan Aruch that the difference between Kavod Shabbos and Onik Shabbos is, when do you do that activity? Kavod Shabbos is something that I do in anticipation of Shabbos. Oneg Shabbos is something which I enjoy on Shabbos proper, on Shabbos itself. So that's the difference, and we assume that when you light Shabbos candles, you have a fulfillment of both Kavod Shabbos, because you light them in anticipation of Shabbos, and you also have a fulfillment of Oneg Shabbos, because you enjoy the lights on Shabbos itself. Okay, so if we stop there, you'll say, wonderful, we understand what Halakas Neir Shabbos is, everything's great. However, we look at a Gemara together this morning, Shabbos Daf Chaf Gimel Amid Beis. Let's look at number Aleph. Does everyone have a source sheet? Anybody not have? Raise your hand. Okay, wonderful. So, we look at number Aleph, the Gemara in Shabbos Chaf Gimel Amud Beis, where the Gemara tells us as follows. It's very unlikely for us in this society to have these kind of problems, but the Gemara describes a certain issue that used to come up where people had to triage. They had to figure out what they were going to spend money on and what they were going to cut back on. People didn't have enough money to spend on everything, so they didn't know what to do. So you have to prioritize and figure out, am I going to spend money on mitzvah X or on mitzvah Y? So the Gemara says, well, what happens when I have Shabbos Chanukah? Shabbos Chanukah, I have two mitzvahs that are in front of me. I have number one, to light the Neiros Chanukah. Number two, I have to light Neiros Shabbos. And we're talking about someone who really does not have enough money to purchase both candles for Chanukah and candles for Shabbos. So which one comes first? How do I prioritize between Neiros Shabbos and Neiros Chanukah? Says the Gemara as follows, Amar Rabba, Pshita li, it's not even a question in my mind, says the Gemara, that ner beso v'ner Chanukah, if I have a choice and I only have enough money to buy either number one, neros for the Chanukah candles, or to buy candles for my neros Shabbos, if I'm not sure which one to do, ner beso adif. The Shabbos candles will come before the Chanukah candles. Even though we know the Rambam says, mitzvah Chanukah is mitzvah chaviva ad ma'od, this is a very special mitzvah. Everyone loves Chanukah, still, says the Gemara, it's obvious, pshita li, it's obvious in my mind that if you have a toss-up between buying a candle for Neiros Chanukah or buying a candle for Neiros Shabbos comes first. And why is that? Why is that, says the Gemara? Mishum shalom beso. So we're all familiar with the concept of shalom bayis, but that's not really what the Gemara means. Rashi explains, shalom bayis in this context means shalom bayis that I shouldn't trip on the furniture in my house. Look, if I'm going to have a dark house on Shabbos, I'm going to be looking to try to set the table, I'm going to try to pull the spoons and the forks out of the drawer, and I'm going to try to pull all the plates out, everything's going to fall, I'm going to slip on, I'm going to trip on certain things. That's not going to be an enjoyable situation for Shabbos, and therefore we say, Mishum shalom bayis, because on Shabbos we're supposed to be able to see what we're doing and enjoy the home that we live in, therefore Shabbos candles trump everything else. That's what the Gemara says, and they will even come before the Neiros Chanukah, even though Neiros Chanukah is something that we love, Neiros Chanukah is something we're all excited about, but still, Shabbos candles always come first. That's what the Gemara says. What you see from this Gemara is that not only do we assume that Shabbos candles is number one, a fulfillment of Kavod Shabbos, not only are Shabbos candles number two, a fulfillment of Oneg Shabbos, but Shabbos candles, we assume, are also a third element of bringing Shalom Bayis, of bringing a peaceful and a beautiful home, a beautiful atmosphere into the home in which we are for Shabbos. Now, once you throw this consideration into the mix, once we assume that Shabbos candles are also Mishum Shalom Bayis, that's going to have a major, drastic change in the halacha. Once you assume that it's also because of Shalom Bayis, that makes a big difference. Number one, the Mishnah Berurah writes as follows. You think that Shabbos candles are only the Shabbos candles that you light in your dining room on the Shabbos table? Says the Mishnah Berurah, no. If part of Shabbos candles is supposed to be Shalom Bayis, well, that means when I turn on the light in my bathroom, when I turn on the light in the closet in my room because I want to see all the clothing Shabbos morning and I want to know what to take out, well, that's also part of Shalom Bayis. Shalom Bayis means not only do we limit it to enjoying the Shabbos meal, not only do we limit it to honoring the Shabbos, But Shalom Bayis also means that my whole house should be lit up anywhere where I feel I'm going to need light on Shabbos. And therefore, says the Mishnah Brura, you should have in mind, like we spoke last week, one should have in mind when lighting the Shabbos candles and making the bracha, that not only is my bracha going on these Shabbos candles per se, but also when I go and I turn on the bathroom light before I light my Shabbos candles, I do a quick run around the house to make sure that everything's on that I want to be on. Says the Mishnah Brura, that's also part of the mitzvah of Shabbos candles, of Hadlakas Neir Shabbos. Why? Because that part is the element of Shalom Bayis, that I should be able to know that my house is lit up, that I'm not going to trip on anything, that I know where everything is, and that's part of Shalom Bayis. And when I recite the bracha on my Shabbos candles, it's going not only on the candles per se, but also on the lights that are lit in the rest of the house. Now, it's important to note that if you assume that way, that really Shalom Bayis is one of the major critical components to Hadlakas Neir Shabbos, it will turn out that I don't specifically have to light candles. It will turn out that I'm also able to use electric lights. Because if the whole objective here is that I should have light in my home, in order that I should be able to see what I'm doing, and I shouldn't trip on the furniture, and I shouldn't take out the wrong spoon or the wrong fork, well then electric lights will accomplish the same goal. And that's what many, many achronim write. That nowadays, if you want to light electric lights, that will really be a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neir Shabbos. That will be good enough in order to be mekayem my mitzvah. In fact, there are many achronim who assumed that specifically when it came, let's say, to Havdalah on Matzah Shabbos, this comes up in many areas of halacha, but one simple example, Havdalah on Matzah Shabbos, you're supposed to have a light, and we say, Abari Mari Ha'esh. Why do we do that on Matzah Shabbos? Why do we do it on Matzah Shabbos? Anyone know? It's a nice idea. Not what the Gemara says. No, it's good. It's a nice idea. But I'll ask you the question like this. It wasn't really fair the way I asked the question. The question is a little better phrased like this. We generally recite a bracha when we enjoy something, when we have some sort of hana, let's say, or when we're totally spellbound by something that's going on in the world. So you see a thunder, and you hear thunder and lightning, or you see something amazing, you see the Yam HaGadol, you see the Mediterranean, wow, what an amazing sight. You see Niagara Falls, incredible, I'm so overwhelmed. Osam Aisa Bereshis. You say something, you say a bracha when you're totally overwhelmed by God's presence in the world. Well, I'll ask you, why don't you recite a bracha every single morning? Borei Mari Ha'esh. No. Every day I'm overwhelmed by the fact that God created light and that I enjoy the fact that the world is light. So what's special about Matzah Shabbos? Excuse me, there's a women's shear. Okay. I'm kidding. Okay. So Bari Mari Ha'esh, the Gemara explains the reason why we recite Bari Mari Ha'esh on Matzah Shabbos specifically is because, he's not really here, don't worry, is because Matzah Shabbos is the time, because we know that Shabbos, light was created, right? We know in the beginning of time, light was created, Adam Rishon took a match, and they struck a match, and all of a sudden there was light by Hiyar. So to commemorate the fact that light was created in the beginning of creation, so now we recite a Bari Mari Ha'esh on Matzah Shabbos to show that now we're, so to speak, beginning the week of creation again. So this is why we recite a Bari Mari Ha'esh. Well, what happens if I have, let's say, a stone in my house, and the stone lights up? Whatever, you have such a thing? I think there are such things that exist. So you have a stone in your house that sits on the table, and it lights up the house. Can I make a Bari Mari Ha'esh on that? Of course not. Why not? Because that's not light, that's not Aish, that's not a flame. You're only allowed to recite a Bari Mari Ha'esh on a flame. So over here, the Achronim writes specifically, when you have a light bulb and you have something which turns on and it does use electricity and it is really a flame, it has a filament inside, an LED light might be a different shilab. However, when it comes to a regular flame, we assume that that would be good enough for the bracha of Bari Mari Ha'esh HaMatzah Shabbos. And the Achronim take that further and they say that would also be sufficient to be Mekayim the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neir Shabbos. Because really, the point of Hadlakas Neir Shabbos, as we just saw in essence, is not only Kavod Shabbos, it's not only Oneg Shabbos, but more so, it's Shalom Bayis. It's in order that I should have light in the house, that I should know what I'm doing, and I should not trip on anything in my home. And therefore, if you turn on the electric lights, you will have been fulfilled your mitzvah of Hadlakas Neir Shabbos as well. Now, this is a major, very important issue. I mean, it comes up, let's say, Neir Chanukah also. I have to light Neir Chanukah, and you get the shaila every year as a rabbi, oh, I'm going on a trip. Why you plan a trip on Hanukkah to Australia and you're going to miss a day of Hanukkah lighting? I'm not sure. However, it happens every single year where people plan trips and they're going to miss a day of Hanukkah candles and they can't light Hanukkah candles. So, number one, the answer is you shouldn't have planned such a trip. You should think in advance, what am I doing? But if you don't think in advance and you don't plan what you're doing, so the question is, you get all the time, what do I do that I'm going to be in the airport and I'm not sure how to light candles and only the fools are lighting the candles in the airport and making a fire hazard for everybody else, and that's something that is absolutely prohibited. And not only that, once we're on the subject, if the hotel tells you you're not allowed to light candles in the room, you're also not allowed to light candles in the room, and if you go against what the hotel's rules are, perhaps you're not even mekayim the mitzvah, even if you don't set off the fire alarm because you're going against what the hotel told you you're allowed to do. Mishana midas balabais, the Gemara says, is a major problem. You are considered somebody who is a ganav. You are stealing because you signed up to the room and you plan to follow the rules. If you don't follow the rules, you are considered a ganav. So we're not talking about somebody like that. We're talking about somebody who's in a hotel and wants to do the right thing and is not trying to cut corners. So what's the right thing to do? Here I am on Hanukkah. I'm not allowed to light candles. What am I supposed to do? So when you have a shas adchak gadol, when you have a situation like that where you have no other option, then the best thing to do would be to take a, as funny as it sounds, yes, we know that all the non-Jews light, you know, the big Hanukkah menorahs that have electric lights on them. However, it's not so far off. If we are stuck in a situation, let's say you're in a hotel or you're in a airport or you're on a plane or something of that nature, and you don't know how you're going to light Hanukkah candles, the best thing to do would be to light the candles by turning an electronic bulb. That will be considered, b'di'eved, a good enough lighting of Hanukkah candles. When it comes, let's say, to a cruise, people go on a cruise and you're there for Shabbos and you can't light Hanukkah candles in, you can't light Shabbos candles in your room, I would imagine. It would be a little bit dangerous. So, also, we suggest what people should do then is to buy two tea lights. Again, if you remember the first year, for those who were here, first year we spoke about was that you have a dual aspect, Zachar and Shamar, so you're always supposed to light double. You're supposed to light two candles, one for Zachar, one for Shamar. This is why we have Lecha Mishnah on Shabbos. This is why we have in the Karbanos of Shabbos, Shnei Chavasim B'nei Shana. We have two Karbanos. Everything's two. Everything's double because of Lecha Mishnah. We got a double portion. So therefore, if you're a person who is going to be on a cruise, and a cruise is wonderful, if you're on a cruise, you should go ahead and buy two electronic lights, plug them into the walls before Shabbos, and recite a bracha, Lahadlik Ner Shel Shabbos, on that. That will be sufficient. Now, back to the issue of Shalom Bayis. Shalom Bayis, the way the Gemara says it. And that means that I have to have Halakas Neir Shabbos in my house in order that I shouldn't trip on any of the furniture, that I should know what I'm doing, that I should see what I'm eating. So number one, we said this makes a big difference that the Mishnah Berurah points out that because Shalom Bayis is an important issue to keep in mind, one also has to light the lights in the other rooms of the house as well, not just by the table per se, because Shalom Bayis means I don't want you to trip on your way to the bathroom, on the way to the bedroom. I don't want you to have a hard time finding your clothing in the morning. So therefore we assume because of Shalom Bayis, you have to light the candles, you have to light the lights in all of the rooms that will be used on Shabbos. Number two, we said that electronic lights will be acceptable because as long as the objective is that I have to make sure that I see what I'm doing, so as long as the electric lights can show me what I'm doing, that will be good enough. Now, number three, this is a very, very important issue and people are not aware of it. Let's look at number three. Very important. Number Gimel, number Beis on the source sheet. Shulchan Aruch Arachayim Simen Reish Zamach Gimel, which is Hilchas Shabbos, the Halachas Havadlachas Neir Shabbos. Says the Shulchan Aruch, and will translate. Beis O Gimel Balabatim, Ochlim B'makom Echad. Let's say you have two or three families eating in one place. This happens all the time. You have two or three families eating in one place. Now, just keep in mind, think about, while we read this, how you would translate the Halacha that the Shulchan Aruch is expressing to a hotel lobby. Okay? Is the Shulchan Aruch describing a hotel lobby or not? So let's see. Beis O Gimel Balabatim. Shulchan Aruch is not describing 500 Balabatim who are lighting Shabbos candles together. The case that the Shulchan Aruch gives is Beis O Gimel Balabatim, two or three families who are eating together. So what do you do about lighting Shabbos candles? Who's going to light? Who's going to light? Well, let's say we have two or three families staying together for Pesach. Who has to do Bedikas Chametz? Huh? The owner of the house. Each household has to do their own Bedikas Chametz. But let's say we have everybody staying in one house. Comes Bedikas Chametz night, who has to check? The owner of the house. It's his problem. So, let's talk about Hadlakas Neir Shabbos. I have a whole group of families in my house for Shabbos. Who has to light the candles? Well, same person who has to do the Bedikas Chametz has to light the candles, no? Why not? Let's see. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Bezo Gimel Balabatim Ochlem Habakam Echad. I have two or three families staying in my home together. Yesh Omrim, you know, sometimes for those who are not so experienced with reading Shulchan Aruch, you think the Shulchan Aruch is the clearest halacha guide in the world. You'll say, well, we all follow the Shulchan Aruch. Look at this. You have a Shulchan Aruch here who gives you three opinions, four minhagim. You don't know what to do. You're more confused when you finish than when you start. So let's look at what he says. Some say shekalechem mevarachem in arshalot. This is not like bedichas chametz. Each person has to make a bracha on his own candles. Why is that? Because I have a responsibility to light my own neighbor's Shabbos. Take for example. Let's just contrast that example of bedichas chametz. Bedichas chametz, we would assume, is a chova on the house. Each household has to make sure that it is checked before Pesach. So therefore, the owner of the house has to go and check the house on Erev Pesach. What happens, let's say, shaking lulav? Well, you say, as long as the owner of the house goes and shakes lulav, we're all taken care of. Absolutely not. Hearing shofar. Well, as long as one person in the house went to shul, that's good enough. Of course not. So, says the Shulchan Aruch, we would assume, which category do you put Hadlakas Neir Shabbos in? Is Hadlakas Neir Shabbos comparable to the mitzvah of Bedikas Chametz, where just the owner of the household has to do it and that's good enough for everybody in the house? Or do you assume that no? The mitzvah of Hadlakas Neir Shabbos is comparable to Tikiyas Shofar. It's comparable to shaking a lulav. And just like shaking a lulav, each person has to make sure to do it on their own. So to Hadlakas Neir Shabbos, each person has to make sure to do it on their own. And therefore, if I'm in a home where somebody else is lighting, it's not good enough to rely on them. I have to light my own. This is the question, basically, that the Shulchan Aruch is bothered with. How do we view the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neir Shabbos? Is it like Bedikas Chametz? Is it like the mitzvah of Tikiyas Shofar? Clear? Says the Shulchan Aruch. Opinion number one, each person lights his own. V'yesh megamgem bedavar. What does that mean? Some people aren't so clear on this. Well, you can argue. V'nachon, therefore he says, opinion number three, nachon lizar b'safik brachas v'lo yivarach el echad. Compromise. Well, we're not sure. You should light, you shouldn't light, so you know what? Compromise. Shita, if you have two or three families together for a Shabbos, everyone should light their own candles, because what do you lose? But only the owner of the house should make the bracha. Everybody else should not recite their own bracha. Okay. Rama. Says the Rama. Generally, Ashkenazim follow minig of the Rama. We have any Sephardim in the room? Okay. For Sephardim, the halacha might be different. But for Ashkenazim, we generally follow the halacha like the Rama explains it. Aval, says the Rama. Aval, anu ein noagim kein. The Rama says, our practice is not so. Now, what does that mean? Our practice is not so in which direction? Our practice is not so, says the Rama, that everybody has the right to light their own candles and everybody has the right to recite their own bracha when you have two or three families eating together. Good? Okay, so we stop here, everything's fine. Not so clear. The Achronim look at this Rama and say, hey, is he really describing a hotel? Basically what the Rama is saying is that one is allowed to recite a bracha on Ribui Ha'ar, which means as follows. One person already lit Shabbos candles. What is the point of me lighting Shabbos candles now? What is it going to help? They already lit. The house is lit up. Covered Shabbos, owned Shabbos, everything's taken care of. So what am I adding? Says the Rama, well, if you only had two candles on the table, it wouldn't be so nice. Now that you have three women lighting together, you have six candles on the table. Beautiful. Wow. The table is much more enhanced than it was before. So that's what the Rama says. You have a right to make a bracha on the Neir Shabbos, even because you are only being marbe'or, because you are adding light onto the room. More so than there was before when only one woman lit the two candles. Now that I'm adding my light, there's four candles. Now that you're adding your light, there's six candles. Says the Rama, you have a right to make a bracha on the ribui ha'ar, on the factor that you're just adding more light to the room that's already lit up. Well, how far do we take that principle? Do we say that if you're in a room with 500 candles, because everybody in the hotel already lit, would the Rama argue in such a case also they have a right to make a bracha on Ribui Ha'ar? I'm not adding anything. And for that matter, look at Rav Moshe Feinstein, number Gimel. Rav Moshe Feinstein points something out which is so important for us to know in this generation. Says Rav Moshe, Yesh La'ayin, this is the very end of a tshuva. I don't understand. You have to think about it, says Rav Moshe. Bizman hazeh, in our time, she'or ha'neiros mamish, that we have electric lights on in our whole home. Everything is lit up already before we even get started. The lights are already on, says Rav Moshe. Le'inyan hana miribu ha'ara debame haneros. What am I adding? What am I adding by lighting the Shabbos candles? If all the lights are lit in the room already, what is the point of my lighting Shabbos candles? Says Rav Moshe, I'm not sure. This is a big problem. Ein bazeh klum. In fact, you are doing nothing. How upsetting. What's the hana? So what's the hana? Speak it out. Right. So that's a nice idea. The problem is when it comes to halacha, no. You should feel good about doing mitzvahs. You know, there's a story about Rav Soloveitchik. It's a great story. There was a woman, a feminist, who very much was upset why the minhag is that women don't wear tzitzis. So she came to Rav Soloveitchik and she said, "It's not fair. I also want to wear tzitzis. It's not fair." So he said, "Okay, let's do a trial run. We're going to do as follows. You're going to go for 6 months. You're going to wear a baguette of tzitzis without any strings on it. We'll see how you feel. And then after that, we'll discuss. So fine." So she buys a baguette of tzitzis in the store, puts on the baguette of tzitzis. 6 months she's going. After 6 months, she comes back to Rav Soloveitchik and he says, "No, how'd it go?" So she says to him, "You couldn't imagine how spiritual I felt. Incredible. Wearing tzitzis for 6 months, what an incredible feeling." So he said, "Well, I want you to know, there's no mitzvah that you accomplished. By wearing tzitzis without wearing any strings on it, you didn't do anything. So we don't just allow ourselves to do mitzvahs because it feels good. Obviously we're supposed to feel good when we do the mitzvah, but we have to also make sure that while we feel good, we also are mekayim the mitzvah the way we're supposed to. Just the feeling good alone is not enough of a reason to recite a bracha. Right? Feeling good alone is a very nice thing, but feeling good without the mitzvah is not really accomplishing much. So that's the question over here. Says Rav Moshe, I'm sorry, but ein bazeh klum. If you're going to light your Shabbos candles and the lights, electric lights are on in your home, in fact, you have nothing. In fact, you have nothing. Acharei she'ika ora hashmal ha-electricity, he says, since you have the electric lights on, yesh ladim bazeh bein be'etzam chiyav hadlakas neiros v'kol shekein le'inyan yantiv. Certainly think about it when you come to Yom Tov. Well, worst case scenario, if I light my Shabbos candles on Erev Shabbos, what's the worst case scenario? What am I doing wrong? Bracha levatala, right? I'm making a bracha, maybe I didn't have to. Bracha levatala perhaps is only an issur derabbanan. You talk about Yom Tov night. A person's going to light candles on Yom Tov and the electric lights are on, says Rav Moshe, oy vey. Imagine you're doing a malacha de'araisa on Yom Tov when you didn't have a real heter to do so. Says Rav Moshe, what do we do about this? And in fact, my father writes in one of his Svarim from Rav Soloveitchik, the very exact same sentiment. Look at number Dalid, where Rav Soloveitchik said, Harama hevi midivri atosus. Look at number Dalid, where Rav Soloveitchik said the following, Shem haya ner dalek mi bod yom gadol. The Rama writes, if a person's candles are on Erev Shabbos, we spoke about this last week, I have to make sure to go ahead. The Rama says you should go ahead and turn them off and turn them back on. The electric lights in the house. Why? To show that I'm doing it l'kavod Shabbos Kodesh. That we spoke about last week. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that Slenu kimat tamidu kain. It's always that way in our homes. Shahaner ha-chashmali boer kol hayom. Because the electric lights are on all day long, right? I have lights on in the kitchen, lights on in the dining room. I'm trying to set the table. I'm trying to clean up my kitchen. Ukshabah ba'as habayis lahadik neir Shabbos. Says Rav Soloveitchik, so how do we get out of this problem? How do we get out of the problem that we're faced with? Again, what's the problem? Problem is, yes, the Rama says when you have two or three families eating together, each one is allowed to light candles. But not when you have 500 families eating together. My candles don't add anything when I already have 500 candles that are out on the table. And now, even more so, when I have the electric lights, which totally overwhelm any candles that I'm going to light, how do we get around the problem? Rav Moshe says, well, ein bazeh klum. I don't know what the lighting of the Shabbos candles actually adds. I don't know what it is. Why are you allowed to recite a bracha? Seder of Soloveitchik and Rav Moshe Feinstein subsequently wrote as well. You know what you should do? The following. You go ahead and you light your Shabbos candles. Everything's fine. At the time that you lit your Shabbos candles, your electric light should be off. Okay? Now many people are not aware of this. The electric lights in the dining room should be off. Now I light my Shabbos candles, then I turn on the lights and I recite a bracha. My bracha goes back on everything that I just did. What is the point of doing so? Again, just to make that clear. The point of doing that is because we're concerned a person really does not have a right to recite a bracha, the Hadlik Ner Shel Shabbos, if you're not really performing a mitzvah. Now, Rav Moshe Feinstein wrote, and all the Achronim in his generation wrote as well, all the greats of last generation wrote the following, one is not allowed to recite a bracha if your lighting really doesn't add anything. So what do? We all want to recite a bracha. We all want to light Shabbos candles. How are we going to fulfill our mitzvah? How are we going to justify the fact that we're lighting candles and we want to recite a bracha as well? How do we do it properly? The answer is as follows. When I recite my bracha is really going back not only on my Shabbos candles, but it's going also on the lighting of the electronic lights. And therefore, Rav Soloveitchik suggested that you do the following. Again, you light the Shabbos candles proper, then you turn on the lights in the dining room, and then you recite your bracha, and the bracha goes back on everything that you have just done. Okay? So that's a big problem. That's a major question. Yes. What? What about Yantif? Everyone hear the question? Oh, 1 second. Everyone hear the question? Unbelievable question. What about Yantif? That's an amazing question. What do you do about Yantif night? Yantif night is a major problem. Well, I'll tell you a little secret. Rav Moshe Feinstein deals with the question of Yantif in a separate tshuva. And he says, well, what do you do about Yantif? This is all very nice, but what do you do Yantif night? I can't turn the lights off and then turn them back on. Well, Rav Moshe Feinstein says, maybe you'll use a Shabbos clock. Have the lights go off, and then you'll have them go back on. And when you light the candles, make sure you light them when the lights are off. Well, says Rav Moshe, I don't believe in the Shabbos clock, so it's not going to work for me. So Rav Moshe Feinstein himself has a problem. But for most of us who do use a Shabbos clock, Rav Moshe suggests, use a Shabbos clock, that the lights should go off. While the lights are off for 10 minutes, you make sure you go ahead and you light the Yom Tov candles. However, Rav Moshe says, what do you do for me? I don't believe in the Shabbos clock, and I have this problem with the electronic lights on, so what do? Rav Moshe says, well, for me it's not a problem. You know why? What? No, for his wife. So Rav Moshe says, for me it's not a problem because of the following. Well, you know, we live in a generation, says Rav Moshe, this was 50 years ago, it's not the case anymore, when we have blackouts almost every day. And because we have blackouts all the time and the lights are always going out, it turns out that my Shabbos candles are really important because if the lights go out, that's all I'm going to have at my Shabbos table. I don't know about you, but you have them often? You have it once, twice a year when you have a big storm outside. But on a regular Shabbos when the forecast is fine, it's very improbable that you're going to have a blackout. Certainly in many of our homes when we have generators and we have everything set up that it shouldn't happen. So Rav Moshe is talking 50 years ago when he lived in the Lower East Side, and there were blackouts all the time, and electricity wasn't as good as we have it now. So that's where Rav Moshe writes. So that's a big problem. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, also one of the great Gedolim of last generation who lived in Yerushalayim, deals with the question, what do you do Yom Tov night? An amazing question. And Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, well, maybe you'll say the following. Maybe you'll say that since it adds to the ambiance so much, what would it look like if the table didn't have Yom Tov candles? What kind of table would that be? How can you have a table like that? Shlomo Zalman says, maybe that's a good enough reason to allow me to light my Yom Tov candles. Well, that's also very questionable. Many Acharonim have a big problem with that, because who said that's a good enough excuse? Just because you like the ambiance, what do you mean? If I feel it would add to the ambiance by having music played at my Yom Tov meal, so I'm allowed to go ahead and play my violin, I'm allowed to go play a guitar, I can go play the piano, of course not. You can't just do malacha for no reason because I think it adds to the ambiance. It has to be something that's really halachically permissible. So this is a major question and a major debate. What do you do about Yom Tov night? But when it comes to regular Shabbos, many Gedolim write. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Rabbi Soloveitchik wrote the same thing. Rabbi Avadi Yosef, who just passed away a few years ago, they all write the same, that a person should make sure when lighting the Shabbos candles on a regular Friday night, you should turn the lights off in your dining room, light the Shabbos candles, turn the lights back on, and then recite the bracha, which goes back on everything that you have just done. Now, the problem is when you come to a hotel. What do you do in a hotel? Now, a hotel is majorly problematic for many reasons. For many, many reasons. Yeah. Yeah. You gotta keep it in mind. You know, that's what they say. That's why we're called observant Jews. Yeah. That's what we spoke about last week, exactly. That not rushing into Shabbos. Well, get used to it. We'll, you know. Yes. I think you asked this question last week, and it was a great point. The reason why the Ramah says that the men should light the candles and then blow them out is for the following. Because we know, you know, sometimes you try to light the candles and it doesn't go and it doesn't go and it doesn't go, and then you try to light it. If you lit it once already and then you blew it out, it's much easier to light the next time. Sometimes there's wax stuck on top. That's why the Ramah says the men should get the candles prepared. And by getting them prepared, it also means to light the top of the wick in order that when the wife comes, when the woman comes to light the candle, it will be all ready to go. There won't be any problems. Yes. Great.
They are not.
Great.
I'm not
all candles, they're not spiritual. One, and I
read
a book
from a Gemara that was quoted,
I don't
know,
to share
a couple weeks ago, that you're
not allowed to use Shabbos candles to read. Okay. It's a great question. Everyone hear the question? Very good. You're both right. You're both right. I'll explain as follows. The Gemara says the following. The Gemara says in Shabbos Daf Yud Beis, this is the question you raised, and she's absolutely correct. The Gemara says in Shabbos Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, a person is not allowed to light a candle and sit lo yikra la ar haner. I'm not allowed to sit and take my book and read right next to the candle. Why? Chayshinan shema yate. What does that mean? Chashinan Shamayata means we're concerned, an outside consideration, completely separate factor. What does it mean? We're concerned that the way they used to have candles back in the times of the Gemara was, you used to have to tilt it in order that the oil should be able to reach the wick. Right? That's the way it used to be. So what's going to happen? It's 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, I'm sitting reading my book right next to the candle, and I see that the candle, the wick, is not so close to the oil. Well, what am I going to do now? The candle's going to go out. So you know what? I'm going to tilt the candle a little bit, and that will be a violation of Shabbos. What's the violation? It's like you're lighting a candle. Why? Because the candle was about to go out, and now you tilt the oil in order that it should last longer. Well, that's only the case by candles. When we have electronic lights, that's not a consideration, right? That's not a consideration. So I'm not sure exactly what you're proving from that Gemara is that what? You're saying that candles and electronic lights are not the same. But that's a very different consideration that the Gemara has.
But also, qualitatively, when you light
Shabbos candles,
you're bringing pollution. When you light electric, turn on the electric lights, nothing's happening.
Why not?
The quality of the experience. It's just okay. You know, there's nothing special about electricity when you had, if you have, whatever reason you had, whatever reason.
It's not the same. Both are very important. You're very right. You're very right. And that's where Shlomo Zalman says the ambiance. That's where you're getting it. The ambiance of Shabbos is not the same if I'm not going to have my Shabbos candles. You see, it's a very subjective point, but also when the Gemara says Shalom Bayis, it doesn't mean Shalom, peace, that our family shouldn't fight. No. I'm just making it clear that when you say Shalom Bayis, the Gemara just means that we shouldn't trip on things. That's the way the Rishonim explain what Shalom Bayis means. If that's the objective, then you have to think about the overall perspective. If the objective is just that we shouldn't trip on things in our home, and we should know when we're taking the plates out that it's the plate and not the fork and not the spoon and not the bowl, well then you... So you would be allowed to. You would be allowed to. Because we feel... Okay, so that's why Rav Moshe and Rav Soloveitchik all suggested, and Rav Avadia Yosef, they all suggested that you do both. In order that if you feel comfortable with the Oneg Shabbos of the candles on the table, by all means, go ahead. So light the Shabbos candles, but make sure when you do that, that it has some sort of meaning when you do it. So make sure you... Well, the Ramah says one is not allowed to recite a bracha if you're not adding anything to the room. You have to add light. You have to add light, not just adding feeling. You have to. The Ramah seems to disagree. The Ramah says you need... What? No, but the Ramah even says, let's say the Ramah's example that he gives, again, it's a very important point, and thank you for clarifying it. The Ramah's example that he gives is when you have two or three people lighting together, that's when each of them would be allowed to recite a bracha. But let's say you have 500 people lighting together, and they didn't have...
That's a separate issue.
Why is that separate than the electric lights that we have here? From somebody else's Shabbos candles?
Absolutely, because it's there.
Mm-hmm.
That's subjective.
Yeah.
All of it, you could say all of it is subjective.
Okay, it's what to think about. Definitely what to think about, yes. You're 100% right. Yes. Okay. Right. Okay. Great. So we start small, right? We start here. No. Okay. 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 What, when this becomes a bigger issue, yes. I'll tell you. A regroup. Fair enough. Fair enough. I'm open to talk to everybody. But maybe we should leave out the hotel part because that's going to be a real issue. What? Okay. Now there's an issue that the Rishonim raise. And that is, I'm sorry if any of this was offensive to anybody. It absolutely was not meant to be so. That's great. That's great. Halacha is made to challenge all of us to become better Jews. So that's a wonderful thing. But again, I absolutely understand the sentiment that it's a little bit hard to swallow such a thing when we've been doing something for so many years in a certain way. And perhaps we see from the sources that there's what to question. That's all. There's what to question. Obviously, everyone can decide and ask their own person who they want to trust to do what they want to do. Obviously, that's something that's permissible. But just want to make sure everyone's aware of the issues. Yes. So thank you. You're leading me straight into an unbelievable point. If we can just digress for a minute from Halakas Neiros Shabbos, the point was as follows. Maybe you should say there's validity to a minhag Yisrael because this is the way everybody does it. So it doesn't matter what the halacha says because this is the way we do it. It's a very important point. Let me just give an example as follows to illustrate your point. You have Yitzchak Avinu. How much is told to us in the Torah about Yitzchak Avinu? Very little. What do we know about him? That he follows in his father's footsteps, right? Everything he did is exactly like his father. Vayihirav ba'aretz, there's a famine in the land, what does he do? Well, let me look at the book, at the Chronicles. What did my father, Avram, do? Follow the minhag, right? That's the right way to go. This is Yitzchak Avinu's whole life. His father digs wells, he goes ahead and digs wells. His father does this, he does that, same thing. There's very few stories that the Torah tells us about Yitzchak himself. Everything that he did was just preserving the minhagim of his father. Exactly like you're saying, and that's a very important thing. So what happens? Vayihi rav ba'aretz, there's a famine in the land. Well, he looks back at the chronicle, what does it say? My father goes down to Mitzrayim. I'm also going to go down to Mitzrayim. Follow the minhag. This is what we do. I'm doing exactly what my father did. Says God, don't you dare leave Eretz Yisrael. Shchon ba'aretz azoz, you stay here. What do you mean stay here? I'm just doing what my father did. What do you have against me? What did I do wrong? I'm just following the Mesorah. I'm following the minhag. What's the answer? The answer is, God responds to him, you are a karban, you're an ola tmima. You were brought onto the Akedah, and because of that you got an elevated status, and a karban does not have the right to leave Eretz Yisrael. Which means, yes, you're following the minhag of your father, but if your father was a karban, if he had the same circumstance that you had, he would have acted differently. So when you follow a minhag, it means, before you understand that, you have to make sure, is the circumstance the same than it was with my grandparents? When Yitzchak looks at the book and he says, well, what did my father do when there was a famine? He went down to Mitzrayim. So I'm going to do the same. Not so fast. It's not so simple. Why? Because your circumstance is not the same as your father's. You're an Ola, you're a carbon, and your father was not. And therefore, you have to act differently. Similarly, you find, take another just random example. We have in these parshios where the mantle of leadership is being given over from Moshe Rabbeinu to Yoshua ben Nun. What do we find? Moshe Rabbeinu, when he goes out to battle, he says, nobody can take from the battle, nobody's allowed to take anything that we win in this war. You have to leave all the spoils, all the Chevy, everything has to be left there. I'm not allowed to take it. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu makes the rule. Now Yehoshua ben Nun, his successor, comes along, makes a battle, and he says the same thing. They come into Eretz Yisrael. If anybody dares to take anything from the war that we win, you're going to be punished. Makes sense. He's following the minhag, right? Following his Rebbe Moshe Rabbeinu. What could be better than that? That's what Yehoshua ben Nun decides to do. How's he supposed to know how to take on the mantle of leadership if not taking example from his Rebbe Moshe Rabbeinu? And God says to him, no, absolutely not. What do you mean absolutely not? What do you have against me? I'm following the Mesorah, I'm following the minhag. What did I do wrong? God says no, because the circumstances changed. Why? Because now that you entered Eretz Yisrael, there's a new halacha, which is Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazet. Everyone is responsible for each other. If I see you doing an Avera, it's not just your problem, it's my problem also that I'm not stopping you. And I'm going to be held accountable, not just you. So the circumstances change, says God. In the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, that halacha did not apply. We didn't say, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazeh. Moshe Rabbeinu made a private decree that if anyone goes ahead and violates my principle, they are going to be punished. It's your problem. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, now Yoshua ben Nun, you think you're going to apply the same principle that Moshe Rabbeinu used in his war? It's not the same. You don't have a right to use that principle. Following the minhag doesn't mean you do the same thing. Following the minhag means you figure out if my grandparents had the same situation that I'm in right now, if they were under the same circumstances that I had in this generation, if they knew what I was going through now, how would they act? You can't look now, how would they act 200 years ago when life was very different. You have to look in our times, how would your grandparents act if they had our situation? A very, very important point, and I'm glad that you raised it. And let's. Okay. That's a very different question when it comes to Tchelis. Very different question. Okay. Tchelis is a very different issue. Yeah. So that's the point that I was just making. I think you have to keep in mind when we say minhag avoseinu biyodeinu, it doesn't just mean we follow blindly a minhag. It means we have to look at how our grandparents would analyze our situation that we're in now. If our grandparents had electric lights, how would they act? Well, says Rav Moshe Feinstein, I'll tell you how they would act. Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Avadya Yosef, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Rav Soloveitchik, the greats of our generation all said, we'll tell you, if you had to transplant our grandparents' situation into our times when the situation totally changed, when the circumstances are completely different from what they ever were, this is what we would do. And that's not, it's not a violation of a minhag because there never was a minhag under these circumstances. Circumstance totally changed. Now, obviously it doesn't mean that we have to go ahead and scrap everything that we're doing in our lives and take everything and just turn them upside down and decide the way we want the religion to look. This is why we have Gedolei Yisrael, the likes of Rav Soloveitchik, the likes of Rav Moshe Feinstein, who understand the perspective of the old Menhagim, who understand the perspective of the circumstances today, and who tell us how we're supposed to act. This is it's a very important point that you raise, but it has far-reaching consequences when it comes to many, many different Menhagim that we perform. Let's just go a little further, and anyone who wants to raise any issues afterward, please, by all means, I'm happy to stick around. There's another issue that the Rishonim raise: when exactly are we Mekabel Shabbos? Does the act of the lighting the candles, does that usher in the Shabbos alone? Do we assume that right away, once you light candles, Shabbos is here and that's it? There's no more malacha. Well, say one of the Rishonim, how can he say such a thing? We know many families light 10 candles, 15 candles, right? You light for all the children, the grandchildren, the in-laws. A lot of women like to light many candles. Well, says, and that's fine, says, say the Rishonim, well, once I light the first candle, how can I light a second one? If you assume that right away with the lighting of the candles, I'm assuming that it's now Shabbos and I'm not allowed to do malacha, how can I go ahead and light now a second candle? That can't be. That would be a violation of malacha on Shabbos. And therefore, many Rishonim are of the opinion that Shabbos does not come in until I recite the bracha. That's an important thing to keep in mind. Now, what does it mean that Shabbos comes in? Let's say I'm in my house, I'm lighting the candles, and the woman should always be ready to light the candles, and everything's great, and she makes her bracha. Now, it's Shabbos. Oy, I forgot to turn on the lights in the kitchen. Oy, I forgot to turn on the lights in my dining room. What do I do? So now, what's going to be? Am I allowed to ask my child, who was not yet Mekabel Shabbos, to go ahead and turn the lights on for me? What do you say? Yes. Yes, no? So this is a wonderful question. Ah, good point. The question was, doesn't age matter? So let's say we're not talking about a young child. We're talking about a child over bar mitzvah, over bas mitzvah. So my daughter is running around the house, and now I realize I forgot to turn off the light in the fridge, I forgot to turn on the lights in the dining room, I forgot to turn on the bathroom light, what's going to be? I was already in Kalb Shabbos, I was in such a frenzy, what am I going to do now? So this is a wonderful question, and it's a major problem. Just before we get to that, the Mishneh Berurah does point out a very important point. For those who are davening Mincha on Erev Shabbos, I don't know if people do or people don't, not my business, but the Mishneh Berurah writes that if a person is going to daven Mincha on Erev Shabbos, one should keep in mind the following. Once you light the Shabbos candles and you recite the bracha, now for you it's Shabbos. So you cannot now daven mincha a weekday Shemona Esrei, because now for you it's Shabbos. Says the Mishnah Brura, if you lit Shabbos candles and you didn't yet daven mincha and you would like to, he says it's better that you should wait now and daven two Shemona Esreis by Mayriv of the Shabbos Shemona Esrei. That's just an important thing to keep in mind. The Mishnah Brura writes that once you light the Shabbos candles and you recite the bracha, it is no longer weekday for you, and you cannot recite the weekday Shemona Esrei any longer. If you don't daven mincha, so you don't daven mincha. But if you do, on that assumption, so we assume you should try to take care of mincha beforehand. Now, what's the halacha? Do we assume that my children are mekabel Shabbos also right away when I light the Shabbos candles? Says the Shulchan Aruch, no. The Rama writes in Siman Reish Samach Gimel that we assume that the woman herself is mekabel Shabbos once she lights the candles, but the children do not have a Kabbalah Shabbos automatically. The children are still allowed to do malacha. Now that we understand that the children are not yet Mekabel Shabbos, it's only the mother of the house. The father of the house is going to be Mekabel Shabbos when he says, L'cha dodi mizmar shir and shul. The mother of the house is Mekabel Shabbos when she lights the candles and makes the bracha. What about the kids? So we assume the kids, not Mekabel Shabbos yet with the mother. So now that my children were not Mekabel Shabbos, and I realized that I forgot to turn on the lights in the dining room, I forgot to turn on the lights in the kitchen, what am I going to do? Am I now allowed to go ahead and ask my child to do a malacha for me? Well, we have a concept on Shabbos called Amir La'akum. Amir La'akum, surprisingly, is an Isser. Amir La'akum is something we are not allowed to do. You're not allowed to ask a non-Jew to do malacha for you unless you're under extenuating circumstances, which I see people are a little bit touchy about some of the Hilchos Shabbos. Maybe we'll leave off on Amir La'akum for now. But Amir La'akum is a serious, serious consideration that we need to think about. In our times, we've sort of neglected the issue of Amir La'akum, and it shouldn't be neglected. Maybe we'll do that another time. But what's the din of Amir Li'Yisrael? What's the halacha? Is the same rule that I'm not allowed to ask a non-Jew to do malacha for me? Well, what's the status of my children? They are Jews, but they're allowed to do malacha. But am I allowed to ask them to do malacha? Well, for me, it's Shabbos. For them, it's not Shabbos. So what would he say? It's a good question. Let's say my child is not old enough to get my hints, right? Let's say. So you have a child who is not yet Mekabel Shabbos. You were already Mekabel Shabbos. You lit the candles. You made a bracha. Now you have a child in the house who wasn't yet Mekabel Shabbos and who won't get the hint. So am I allowed to go ahead and ask them to do a malacha for me? Well, let's look at the sources. Look at number Vav, where the Gemara says in Masechah Shabbos, Kuf Nun Aleph Amid Aleph. A very interesting Gemara. Says the Gemara as follows. Mutar la'adam lomar la'chaberu shmor li peros shabitchu mecha. What does it mean? We have a field. I have a field and you have a field. The problem is, there's something called a Tchum Shabbos. There's only a certain amount of area of distance that I'm allowed to go on Shabbos. Outside of the Tchum, I'm not allowed to travel. My problem is, I forgot I have a field way out in the sticks, and I'm not going to watch over it on Shabbos. And I'm afraid somebody's going to come on Shabbos and steal all my fruits. So what do I do? What do I do? I'm not allowed to walk outside of the Tchum. So you know what I do? I make an announcement and I scream out to my friend who lives a few blocks away and I say, hey, in your Tchum Shabbos, you're allowed to walk to my field. So you know what? Do me a favor. Can you stay by my field over there and watch that nobody steals my fruits on Shabbos? Says the Gemara, that's permissible. I'm allowed to ask him to watch my fruits because what's the malacha? So the Rishonim disagree. What's the point of the... Why is this permissible? Why is it permissible to ask somebody else to watch my fruits which are outside of my Tchum Shabbos? Oh, so the Rishonim have a disagreement. Why is the Gemara saying that it's mutter? Some Rishonim say, as you said, because what's wrong? What's he doing wrong? He's not standing there with a rifle. He's not doing any malacha. What's he doing wrong? It's within his Tchum Shabbos. Everything's fine. The act is not usher. He's not doing anything wrong. It might not be permissible for me, but what does that have to do with him? It's permissible for him. So I'm allowed to ask him to do it. There's nothing to do with me. Other Rishonim say no. You know why this is permissible? Because there is a way, even though we assume that there's something called the Tchum Shabbos, there is a way to extend my Tchum Shabbos. If I would have done appropriate steps, appropriate measures before Shabbos, and set something up in a way in which I can go further, I can distance my Tchum Shabbos even further, I would have been allowed to extend my Tchum Shabbos, and then I would have been allowed to go to my field by myself. And therefore the Rishonim say, so just because you were negligent, and you didn't think about that before Shabbos, and you weren't able to do it, doesn't mean that you're not allowed to ask someone else to do it, because really there was a way that you could have done it in a permissible way yourself. And since you could have done it in a permissible way yourself, therefore, you're allowed to ask somebody else to do it if it's in a permissible way for him. So this is a discussion in the Rishonim. So now, let's bring that down to our case. What would he say in a case like this? Well, let's contrast that to this Gemara. What does the Gemara say? Even though it's usur for me to walk and watch over my field because it's outside of the Tchum Shabbos, I'm allowed to ask somebody else to do it on my behalf. Why? The Rishonim say the reason why is because for him it's permissible. Exactly like you said. That's the simple understanding of the Gemara. For him there's nothing wrong. It's within his Tchum Shabbos. Of course he's allowed to go watch over my field. I'm just not allowed to go because I'm restricted by the Tchum Shabbos. So let's extrapolate from there, says the Shulchan Aruch. Let's look in Siman Reish Samach Gimel. I'm sorry I didn't put it on here. Shulchan Aruch Paskins. You look it up later. Siman Reish Samach Gimel. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins that it's mutter to ask a Yehudi who has not yet been Mekabel Shabbos to do Malacha on my behalf. Outright, not just to hint to them. I'm allowed to ask my children in the house. After I was already Mekabel Shabbos by lighting the candles and making a bracha, I'm allowed to go ahead and ask my children to do Malacha on my behalf. Why is that? Because you see from this Gemara, if I have a field that's outside of my Tchum Shabbos, and even though for me it's a malacha, I'm allowed to ask somebody else to do the malacha on my behalf, because for them, it's a permissible act. So too over here, I would be allowed to ask somebody else if for them it's a permissible act. Now, let's bring that to the next level, just before your question, bring that to the next level. What if I have an American Jew goes to Eretz Yisrael? Let's not talk about whether you should keep 1 day or 2 days. Whatever your psak is, let's say you're from the camp that keeps 2 days even in Eretz Yisrael. So you're in Israel for Yantif and you realize, I forgot to turn the lights on, I forgot to do this, I forgot to do that, but there are plenty of Israelis living on the block. Am I allowed to ask one of them to do the malacha on my behalf? Same question. Same question. Well, why not? For him it's not a malacha, for him it's weekday. For me it might be a malacha. So this is a big discussion. This is a big discussion in the Achronim. Whether or not we would extend this even further and say that on Yom Tov Sheni, when a Jew in America is keeping Yom Tov Sheni, but the Israelis are not, am I allowed to request of the Jew who's an Israeli who's not keeping Yom Tov Sheni, am I allowed to ask him to do a malacha for me? Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in a tshuva that he thinks no. He thinks that it's not the same. He argues why he thinks it's not comparable to the case of Shabbos. I would have said, of course it's the same. What do you mean? For him it's not a malacha. The same way for my children it's not a malacha on Shabbos after I light candles. So this is a very important discussion that we come to when we discuss this issue also of asking people to do malacha who are not yet Mekabel Shabbos. Let's just close the series on Halachas Neir Shabbos with the following insight. I'll take your question after. Okay? There's a Gemara in Maseches Bava Metzia. The Gemara describes what Olam Hazeh is all about, what our world is all about. Says the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Pei Gimel Amid Beis, is number Zion on the sheet. Tashas choshech bihi laila. We have a pasuk in Tehillim, which means you have darkness in the world and bihi laila. It's almost like it's night. Says the Gemara, this is a reference to Olam Hazeh shedoma laila. This is a reference to Olam Hazeh that we live in, which is like night. It's just dark. So I saw a beautiful mashal. You have somebody who walks into a library looking for a book, and the lights are out. So you can't find the book that you're looking for. There's thousands of books. When the person walks out of the library and they haven't found the book, what would they say to someone else that they bump into in the street? Can't believe it. The library doesn't have any books. You're a fool if you say that. Of course the library has books. The lights are out. You couldn't see them. Right? You wouldn't walk out of that experience and say, there's no books in the library. What kind of pathetic library is this? You would say, wow, how unfortunate it is that the lights are out, that I couldn't find the book that I was looking for. Well, perhaps when we think about Olam Hazeh, it's the same kind of idea. The difference between Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba and Gan Eden is not that in this world there's no Gan Eden. There's Gan Eden all over the place in this world. We have opportunities for Gan Eden everywhere we turn. The problem is that the lights are out. Olam Hazeh is Doma Lalaila. It's like the person who walks into the library when the lights are out and they think there are no books. Of course there are books. You just can't see them. If only you would turn on the lights, you would appreciate everything that's around you. So perhaps when we think about it in that perspective, some want to suggest that this is what the significance of lighting the Shabbos candles is all about. We spoke about the halacha, and the halacha is very important. But we have an opportunity once a week on Shabbos to turn the lights on and recognize the Gan Eden experiences that we are able to have in this world. You don't have to wait till the afterlife to have a Gan Eden, to have an Olam Haba experience. We can have Gan Eden right at our footsteps all the time. Just generally, we're so busy and we're so caught up with everything that we're doing that we don't have the opportunity to turn the lights on and recognize everything that we have. Rabbi Avigdor Miller points out in one of his books that you'll notice only one time in Chumash do we have this expression. Look at number Ches, Parshas Beshalach. Ru'u ki Hashem nasan lachem as ha-Shabbos. Look, God has given you Shabbos. Now the simple understanding of the pasuk is, look, God gave you a double portion on Friday. Look! Look with your eyes open, you see there's a double portion. Obviously, he gave you Shabbos. That's the simple understanding of the pasuk. But says Rabbi Avigdor Miller, this is the single place in Chumash where we use this expression of Ru'u, because Shabbos is actually the time to see. Shabbos is the time that we have the opportunity to open our eyes, to turn the lights on, and the symbolism that we have of lighting the candles is to remind ourselves that this is what Shabbos is supposed to be. To turn the lights on and to recognize the Gan Eden that we have all around us. The incredible blessings that we're given all the time. And to understand that the experience of Shabbos is something that can be an incredibly uplifting one for all of us. One that could really be Gan Eden-like. Let's just close. The Navi Yeshaya, when he describes the experience of Shabbos, he starts off his words and he says, "Im tashiv mishabbos raglecha, asos chafatzecha biyom kadshi." If you are going to im tashiv, if you're going to rest, mishabbos raglecha, from the running of your feet, and you're going to make sure to make Shabbos a special time, v'karasa l'shabbos oneg l'kdosh Hashem mechubad v'chibadata me'asos derachecha. If you're going to be mechabed Shabbos in the proper way that you're supposed to be, oz tisaneg al Hashem, then you will delight in the presence of God. Then you will delight in the presence which God gives us on Shabbos, specifically on Shabbos. The Avnei Nezer writes, one of the Gedolim from a few hundred years ago, he writes, if you look at the beginning of the Pasuk, regel doesn't just mean feet. Regel sometimes means hergel. If we do something out of rote, and that's what the Pasuk also means to teach us here, im tashiv mishabbos raglecha. If we will allow ourselves an opportunity to break our routine, to break our hergel, we're so used to keeping Shabbos in a certain way. We're so used to talking Lashon Hara at our Shabbos table. Right? We're so used to bashing the rabbi's drasha after we come home from Shabbos. I mean, we all do it. I do it also. We're so used to acting a certain way, but if we'll break our routine that we're used to and understand that Shabbos is supposed to be so much more elevated than the way we have it now, im tashiv mishabbos raglecha, if you'll stop the hergel in the way you keep Shabbos and you'll make sure to have a new perspective and a new understanding, a new appreciation of what Shabbos really could be for you, oz tisaneg al Hashem, then you will absolutely have a delight in the presence of the Shechina that comes to you on Shabbos itself. The Yiratzon, we should all be zecha to have that, to break that hergel, to see that light, and to understand and appreciate how blessed we are to have Shabbos each and every week.